Our gospel lesson today is Mark 10, verses 13 to 16. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So why would Jesus say we should enter the kingdom of God like children? Have you ever spent time as an adult trying to think like a child? Do you wonder what happens when adults are encouraged to be childlike? Psychologist Michael Robinson conducted an experiment about that. He randomly assigned undergraduates to two different groups. The first group was given the following instructions. You are 7 years old and school is canceled. You have the entire day to yourself. What would you do? Where would you go? Who would you see? The second group was given the exact same instructions, except the first sentence was deleted. So they didn't imagine themselves as seven-year-olds with school canceled, only that they had a day to themselves. After writing for 10 minutes, the subjects in both groups were given various tests of creativity, such as trying to invent alternative uses for an old car tire or listing all the things one can do with a brick. Interestingly, the students who imagined themselves as young kids scored far higher on the creative tasks, coming up with twice as many ideas as the other group. We all know this. Children are full of wonder and curiosity and creativity. They also have such pure love and joy. The famous cellist Yo-Yo Ma says, "When people ask me how they should approach performance, I always tell them that the professional musician should aspire to the state of the beginner. Because why is that kid playing? He's playing for pleasure. He's playing because making this sound, expressing this melody, makes him happy. That is still the only good reason to play." Children can also be quite honest, saying what adults won't. Ellen Decker tells about her 5-year-old son offering the following prayer during family time. "Dear Jesus, sorry for the mess we made in the yard today." After a slight pause, he says, "Thank you for the fun we had doing it." What would happen to our relationship with God if we allowed such childlike wonder, joy, and honesty? Can you imagine having a childlike faith? What does that look like in our lives? How could we start to live that way? Art Linkletter used to say, "Kids say the darndest things," but in the passage today, it is Jesus who says the most amazing things. And what he says is not only about children, but about each one of us, for we are children of God. In order to understand the full impact of Jesus' words, we have to understand the role of children in Jesus' day. Children were considered a blessing, and Jewish parents could take them to a rabbi for blessing, but they were an important part of family life, but not in the way we think today. See, children were considered property of the father and useful if they could help sustain the family economy. Sometimes after age 7, children were treated as miniature adults, and certainly by puberty, they were given the same responsibilities as adults. A good number of children in those days didn't live past childhood. Conditions were harsh. Children were not the treasures we consider them today. The book, A History of Children, talks about how a baby could be abandoned without penalty or social stigma for many reasons, including poor appearance, being illegitimate, coming from poverty, or simply being one of too many children. Such an infant was considered an unclaimed thing. If picked up by wealthy persons, the child could become a slave or a play companion. It wasn't really until Christianity took hold that things changed, especially for Roman children. Christianity taught that children were gifts from God, and therefore harm to a child was a violation of God's will. Gradually, Christian Roman emperors increased the penalties for abandoning children, and they limited the number of years a child could be enslaved to just 5 years. Basically, children in Jesus' day were the most vulnerable members of society. They were completely dependent upon adults just to exist. They had to live by trusting the people around them. So what if that's precisely why Jesus offers them as a model for us? And why this passage is so important to us? What if we too are called to be vulnerable, trusting, and dependent, totally dependent upon God? Think about our conversations the past few weeks about sailboats. Isn't trust and dependence what it takes to sail, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to fill our sails and help us be Christ followers instead of relying on ourselves as rowboats? Jesus says we should receive the kingdom of God like a child. We should be childlike in our faith. Jesus does not say we should be immature. In other words, we should receive the kingdom with the attitude of a child, the perspective of a child, the trust of a child. What if Jesus is calling us to be just as vulnerable and dependent and trusting as children in his day had to be? What if instead of being pull yourself up by your bootstrap adults, we are supposed to be trusting and dependent upon God? What if instead of being self-sufficient, we're supposed to be God-sufficient? In her book, Sailboat Church, Joan Gray talks about how we as Christians become sailors with Jesus. She says we do it by depending and receiving. We depend on God for everything. We receive the Holy Spirit, all of which runs counter to our culture, where we are in control and we depend upon no one except ourselves. We are running the show. We are constantly giving of ourselves. Gray reminds us that we are called to receive the gifts of God, especially the power of the Holy Spirit. But ask yourself, are you better at giving or receiving? Many of us struggle with receiving, don't we? Because that's when the ball is not in our court. That's when we have to loosen our grip, open our hearts and hands. It can be hard to receive, whether it's a compliment, a gift, or some help when times are tough. We have to be vulnerable to receive from someone else. Could that be the point that Jesus is making? That we are called to believe and receive. What if that's our identity as children of God? What would that mean practically? Well, it could mean letting go. I mean, we can't open our hands to receive from God if we have a tight grip on something else. But what if letting go is not our forte? Jesus uses that term receive when he says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. See, the kingdom is not something we create or control. It is a gift. And the gifts of God are abundant and amazing and miraculous. What if this is another way we are to receive like children? Think about the last time you saw a kid open a gift. It usually involves big eyes, smiles, laughter, joy, even if they love the box more than the contents, right? The gifts of God are also just enough. In Exodus 16, the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness and they're hungry. So they cry out to God for help, and God literally provides food from heaven, manna, a bread-like substance that was on the ground at dawn, and quail for meat at night. But there were specific instructions about the manna. It was abundant. Everyone could gather as much as they needed, but it was only good for that day. God actually warned them that saving manna for the future would cause it to rot. And it did. Think about that lesson. When do we let go and let God provide? Do we approach God as children, trusting that God will give us enough? Or do we try to store up what we have, hoard it for ourselves, and secure our own future? We usually choose the latter, right? But if we want to receive the kingdom, we've got to be like children, like the Israelites. We've got to trust God completely. We've got to depend on God without reservation. Gray says in her book that the whole point of church is to trust Jesus and become a disciple of him. In other words, we're called to depend and receive. This is how we become more and more like Christ. It all starts with childlike faith. And in some ways, learning to trust God is simple. You just do it. You believe and receive. We adults make faith so complicated, don't we? What if we tried to have the childlike faith that Jesus encourages? Take prayer, for instance. Some of the best prayers are kids' prayers. Ever heard a child pray? It's beautiful. It's real. It's down to earth. It's simple. There's no extra stuff. Kind of like these. Dear God, are you really invisible or is that just a trick? Dear God, I didn't think that orange went with purple until I saw the sunset you made on Tuesday. That was cool. Dear God, I don't ever feel alone since I found out about you. How is your prayer life? If you could give it a score on a scale of 1, not good, to 10, really good, what would you say? Very few of us would say 10, right? So what do? We pray and we pray. We just do it. We believe and receive. We go to God in total dependence because that is truth. We need God for absolutely everything, and we find what we need in prayer. We also find childlike faith when we participate in the body of Christ on earth, the church, just like we talked about last week in 1 Corinthians 12. See, we need community to help us learn how to depend on God. We need one another to encourage us to believe and receive the Holy Spirit. On a scale of 1 to 10, how is your life in the body of Christ? And how can you make it stronger? We also find our way as children receiving the kingdom when we turn to the Bible. Gray calls studying the Bible marinating in Scripture. Isn't that a great image? Think about that the next time you make dinner. How can I marinate in Scripture? How can we spend time in the Bible, ask questions of it, memorize it, study it together? Just think of what marinating in the Bible would do for us. It could literally change us in ways we could hardly imagine. So as we go today, let's make a commitment to have faith like children, to be trusting and vulnerable, dependent upon God instead of ourselves, to pray, to participate, to marinate in the Bible. We can all learn so much from children, and as a church, we're so blessed by them. Their perspective can change our lives and our church if we learn from them how to receive the kingdom of God. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. May God give us the strength and courage to let go, to believe and receive the kingdom like a child. For this, all God's children can say together, Amen.